You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, live from Radio Maria. I want to welcome all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer today will be a supplication. And the supplication will be taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. This is the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I'm so, again, I sound like a broken record, but when I listen to Louisa say, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising. Again, it's like these secrets. And again, our Lord and our Lady, they use the word secrets. And in our modern day vernacular, it's a nefarious term. Usually, you know, it's a secret's bad. But actually, in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one, Our Lady explains what is meant by a secret in this language of heaven that Jesus and our Blessed Mother speak. She quotes, our Blessed Mother says, "For a secret is a need of the heart which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a subtle compliment. Another thing also, when it comes to the secrets, our Blessed Lord also speaks about a secret. I don't know if I have that passage in front of me right now. I don't think I do. But he talks about it, and he actually says that a secret, it's a secret because it has not been fully divulged yet. Remember, Jesus told the apostles, there's much more I have to tell you, but you're not yet disposed, you're not yet ready for it. So this explication, the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which is going to expound upon, not create new, not add to, but allow it to be better understood, everything that's been given to us. That's the Article 66. And of course, Article 67 defines the role of the mystic, which explains to us that the mystic's words help bring a truth to greater clarity in a particular period of time. And speaking of clarity, that's a great time to bring in Mother Gabriel Marie. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everybody out there. How are you?
Oh, it's such a blessed day, and glad to have you back from your retreat. We're just so, you know, it's you know, we're coming up on Easter, Mother, and it just seems like this whole season has gone so quickly. I mean, God had promised to speed up time toward the end because it's going to be painful. And if you think about it, you know, society in a whole has been in a bit of pain for a while. Just really quickly, I was reading Volume 4, July 16, 1901. And it's basically our Lord speaking to Luis, and he says, quote, "My daughter, do you want to know where the evil of man began? The beginning of it is that as soon as he knows himself, that is, as soon as he begins to acquire reason, man says to himself, 'I am something.' And believing themselves to be something, they move away from me. They do not trust me, who am the all. And they draw all their confidence and strength from themselves. From this, it happens that they even lose every good beginning. And by losing the good beginning, what will the end be?" End quote. So Jesus explains to us here what's the initiation of man's evil, of his unhappiness. And it's actually it's when man turned away from God. Actually, he says in the Virgin Mary. I think it's in the volumes where Louisa speaks with Adam. Jesus tells Louisa that Adam took his gaze off our Lord, and that's why he lost everything. So again, evil began, evil is going to continue. And actually, Jesus tells us to sort of hold on to your hats because it's going to get worse. What he tells us in volume one, he says, quote, "What you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials. This is why I have come to dispose your heart and to fortify it. Now you shall tell me everything you have gone through, your doubts and fears, all of your difficulties, that I may teach you how to conduct yourself during my absence," end quote, during this time. And, you know, that really strikes me, Mother, because he's now, again, we've got the sacrament of reconciliation, which takes care of our sins, of course. And now God is going above that and beyond that and past that and says, okay, now I want to hear everything. I want to hear your doubts. I want to hear your fears. I want to hear all your difficulties. You know, the things we really can't present in the confessional. Otherwise, the people outside are going to get a little upset with us for taking up too much of the priest's time. So God is giving us this opportunity to sort of vent or get it off our chest so that, not so he can just hear us and make us feel better, but actually guide us through these tumultuous times. Mother?
Yes, we're going to go through hard times. We're going through hard times now. We don't see it all. God sees the whole picture. But all over the world, people are suffering. People are struggling. My sister was telling me, I forget how many orphans they have now from because of COVID. People 10,000 or something. Lots of orphans. All kinds of things happening all over the world. And, you know, we have to just realize that God brings a greater good out of every evil. Everything that happens that's not so good, it can be turned out into a greater good. And so we have to have trust and confidence in him, knowing that he loves us so much. He takes any evil that happens, that comes our way, and brings it to a greater good. God is so good. He loves us so much. He just wants us to love him back. The whole divine will is all about love. God loving us. It's a round of love and us loving God back. I was just reading in volume 30, June 12th, 1932. He says, "My blessed daughter, for one who lives in my divine will, everything is present. Past and future do not exist for her. Everything is in act. Since she enters the divine order, our paternal goodness does not want to give a love past that it had in creation, or a love that is to come that would not breach into the heart of the creature, because to her it will seem that the love that was unleashed from our womb in creation would be like a love and a work that are not directed to her, and those of the future like love and works to be hoped for, more so since in us past and future don't even exist. Past and future are for one who lives outside of our will, because she looks only at the exteriority of our works, not inside of them, while one who lives in it looks at our works inside of us and looks at our creation as continuous for each creature. So everything is within God. The past is in God. The future is in God. The present is in God. Everything is present to him. We live in time. God's outside of time. We have someone visiting us right now that had a life after death experience. Her whole life went before her. It was only 5 minutes, but her whole life went on from beginning to end and then again back to beginning, just like we read the divine wills, from the beginning to end, go back again. Her life was like that. It was like a round from the beginning of her life to end. She saw everything she did bad. She said every time she hurt somebody, everything that she did wrong in her life, it was all negative. Everything she did wrong, she said. It was a conversion, though. She came out of it beautiful and just very happy, and she's really on fire with the divine will now. But how, you know, God is outside of time. They say one moment in purgatory is like many years, 1 minute, you know, because of the great suffering of being away from God. So time is different with God. 1,000 years are like a day, you know, but everything is present to him. So you can be present when you do your rounds in divine will. You can be at his birth. You can be at his crucifixion. You can do every, right now when you do the stations of the cross, it's Lent. We meditate on his passion. We can actually be there with him. Place yourself there with him. When you read the passion book, it's like you're there with Jesus. And now, you know, if you can imagine what it was like then, place yourself in his position. He suffered much more interiorly in his passion than he did exteriorly. And you can place yourself there, realizing what he must have experienced. We can't really experience what he experienced because his love is so much greater than ours. And he suffered tremendously because of his tremendous love. It goes on to say, so for the happy creature who lives in our will let her see and touch with her own hand our act of stretching out the heavens, of creating the sun, of the wind, the air, the sea, and so forth, for all for her. And she sees and comprehends with clarity our intense love in each thing created for her, our power and wisdom in ordering them for love of her, in such a way that she feels involved and as though drowned under the waves of our love, power, wisdom, and goodness of each created thing. And while she feels drowned, she sees that creation for her shows no sign of ending. It never says enough, but the creating act continues, always continues. And seeing that our creating and operating act never ceases, she echoes our love and never ceases loving us. So everything is ours. God gives us everything. We create with him. He wants us to be within him. And he's within us and we are within him. And so we create with him. Everything he does, he wants to share with us. He wants us to do it with him. He says, oh, how beautiful it is to find in the creature a continuous love that never ceases, just as our own never ceases. Even more, seeing herself drowned by our continuous love of sustaining the creating act for love of her, in order to requite us, she makes use of her stratagems to imitate us. And she says to us, Supreme Majesty, oh, if I had the power, I too would make as many heavens, suns, and everything that you can do for love of you. But since I am unable to, I give you heaven and sun and everything that you have given me to tell you that I want to love you very, very much. And oh, how happy and requited we remain, for the creature makes use of and gives us our love, made her own, to love us. Therefore, in our will, there are no dissimilar things between creator and creature. If she loves, she makes use of our love to love us. If she works in our works, nor does she love or work outside of our love and of our works. We can say that our love is hers and hers is ours, and we have done our works together with her. So he wants to share everything with us. He wants, when we give him, we'll put our I love yous on things, you know, it's actually him doing it for us. He does everything for us. But he wants to give us everything. Everything we do is ours. You know, since we love him so much, if we could create to give him what he's given us, if we could create a son to give it to him, we would do it. But he gives it to us and then we'll return it to him. It's very simple. We don't have to create. We create with him, and whatever he creates, we take as gift given to us, and we return the gift to him. That's what the divine will is all about, loving him so much that whatever he gives us, we want to give back to him. We take his love and love him back with his love, not about feelings. It's about your desire. You desire to love him with his love. You take his love. You tell him you want to love him with his own love in divine will, and it happens. It's all about your desire, and he takes the desires of your heart, and they become realities to God. It's very simple. The divine will is very simple. It's not complicated because God is so simple. We get complicated. We don't understand the divine will then. He says, this is the reason then that this living in our will makes us and the creature happy because we created her, because we want to interact with her, be together, work together, delight and love each other together. Our purpose was not to keep her far away, no, no, but together, infused with us. And in order to keep her absorbed, we gave her our creating and operating act. As it created things, so formed its waves of love and opened veins of happiness in the creature in such a way that she was to feel within herself not only our will, our life palpitating and operating, but the sea of our joys and our happinesses, so much so as to feel paradise in her soul. So as we live in his divine will, we can experience paradise in our souls. We get really happy. You love people. You see everybody through the eyes of Jesus. You see everything through his eyes. The world becomes different to you. The sky even becomes blue. I remember when I first started reading the divine will, 1998, creation, everything was more beautiful. The trees were greener. The sky was bluer because I was happier. I was changing. As I changed, everything around me changed. I saw people in a different light. People didn't bother me as much anymore. problems was not so big anymore, you know. So we began to see him in everything around us and in everyone around us. The more we understand these knowledges that he gave Louisa, the more we read them and ponder them and let them be embedded in our hearts and souls. So Divine Will is all about love, and I encourage everybody out there listening, embrace it. It's the greatest gift that God could give you.
Amen. You know, Mother, you mentioned about simplicity, about the divine will being simple, and it really is. And that's a hard point sort of to drive home, because it seems so complicated. But, you know, it's simple, but and it's also accessible. Just really quickly, just before we move on, June 14th, 1937, Jesus says, "Now it behooves you to know that as the soul decides to live in our divine will, it secures its salvation and sanctity. We dwell in the soul as in our own abode," end quote. Right there tells a whole story. Second part I wanted to bring up really quickly, you mentioned about simplicity, accessibility. This, I think, paints a beautiful, rosy picture for each and every one of us. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Jesus explaining to Louisa, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place," end quote. So we don't have to go looking for it. God has brought it to us. We have to accept it. Our fiat, our yes, like our blessed mothers, will enable God to give us everything he wants to. Hello, sister.
Hi,
sister
Peter.
Gemma. Hi, how
yes,
are you?
Me. I'm good. You?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Today I would like to read from volume 30, January 17, 1932, that connects well with what Mother was talking at the beginning. She was talking about not thinking about the past and the future, but basically living in the present moment. And in this passage, this is actually quite long, Jesus said, tells Louisa, "Blessed daughter, courage, do not afflict yourself too much for now. I want your heaven to be my divine will. It will be for your celestial fatherland on earth, and will not fail to make you happy and to give you the pure joys from up there." When I was reading this, it was clear. It's clear here that Jesus tells Louisa that, and it tells that to everyone, and not only to Louisa, that if we really want to be happy, we have to live the present moment. In other words, to do God's will, and to say yes at every moment. I know it's difficult, especially, I mean, I can see myself, and I'm sure it's difficult for other people. You schedule your day, and then something happened during the day that you cannot do the things that you were planning to do, but you have to say yes to Jesus, even to the little things. And there it's really where you find when you find the happiness, when you say yes to the will of God, whatever it is. And sometimes it's hard. It's not little things that we have to say yes, but maybe we are asked to say yes for big things, and it's a grace. I mean, humanly speaking, we are not able to say yes to maybe to the loss of someone or to other big things, but maybe in the morning we can say Jesus to, or the Virgin Mary, or even our patron saint, to ask them to help us to say yes to the will of God that will that Jesus will ask on that day, and I'm sure it will happen. It's a grace that if we ask, we will receive. We have to surrender all our life to God. And then later on he say, "Therefore, our only feast and happiness that we have upon earth is the soul who lets herself be possessed by the dominion of my supreme will. In her, our world, our life, our joys find a place. It can be said that the work of our creative hands is in the order. There where it was established by our infinite wisdom, that is in our divine will. She is at her place of honor. On the other hand, one who lets herself be dominated by the human will is in the disorder and is our continuous shame of our creative work. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter, and make happy the one who wants to make you happy in time and eternity. So it's easy. I mean, it's easy how we say here. It's easy. It's not that easy to put it in practice. But if we let the divine will dominate our life, we will be happy. We will have all these joys, the joy that it's in heaven, the joy that the saints and the blessed are living now in heaven. We can have it too on earth, only if we live according to God's will, and if we say yes to the will of God. But at the moment when we start to do our human will, that we can do, we are free to do it if we want, but then we have to pay also the consequences of that, and that means live a miserable life. And and I like how this how it ends, this phrase, this is not the end of the chapter, but say, therefore be attentive, my daughter, and make happy the one who wants to make you happy in time and in eternity. So if we really love someone, what we do, we want to make happy the other person. So if we really love Jesus, we have to do very little things to make him happy.
Yes. You know, you mentioned about the present moment. Mother also mentioned about the present moment. That's so important. And Father John Olin Brown, when he was here, a great little phrase that stayed with me. He says, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. And if you think about that, it's so profound because, again, if we worry about what we did or did not do yesterday too much, I mean, of course, we want to correct our errors. And confess our sins. But if we focus too much on it, we're losing the present moment, like you said, sister and mother. And if we're too geared up on preparing for tomorrow, then perhaps we're losing that same opportunity to live in the now, the eternal now, which God's giving us that opportunity. Got about 2 minutes before the break. Sister, did you want to do a 2 minute? We'll call time out and come back after the break, or would you rather me just ramble for a few more minutes?
Like your rambling, Peter. Go ahead and ramble.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's going to be a good rambling, Mother. I promise that. We have the Mariathon coming up. I think it's the 20th of this month, very, very shortly. It's right around the corner. And again, this is where, you know, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. There are no commercials. There's nobody selling you something that you don't want or maybe something you don't need. And thanks be to God for that. So, again, Radio Maria is in need of our prayers and our donations. Again, for this Catholic programming, for this Divine Will programming. I mean, you have us, you have Father News, you've got so many, you've got about four or five different Divine Will programs, which is so beautiful. All the programs are beautiful. But again, we need to help out. And, you know, God knows, you know, we can say to ourselves, well, I can, maybe I can't. I mean, God knows what we can do with prayer. He knows what we can do financially. He doesn't give all of us money. He doesn't give us all of us a lot of prayer time. But whatever he does allot us, he's looking for us, like we just talked about, to give it back. So if you can, please go to radiomaria.us, or you can contact them at 1-888-408-0201. I stumbled through that. Let me do that again. 888-408-0201. I think that's a little better. And we're going to start things off today. Also, if anyone calls in a donation or a pledge, whether it be a one-time or a monthly reoccurring, we're going to send them a relic card of Luisa Picaretta, which contains a piece of Luisa's clothing, which is incredible. You know, we know that the value of the relics, you know, the institution of the relics, probably when the hemorrhaging woman touched the tassel of our Lord's cloak and she was instantly healed, it was her faith that healed her. It's not the relic itself, it's the faith within that relic or with that relic. So speaking of relics, I want to also mention that there's going to be a really great incentive for the Mariathon. We have a rosary. Well, let me start from the beginning. Maria Sirocco, a lovely woman who is the foundress of the St. Michael Garabandal Center in California. She got a chance to be in Garabandal. She actually housed one of the seers, Maria Loli, for quite some time, actually brought Maria Loli to the United States. And Maria Loli had, of course, apparitions of Our Blessed Lady. And in one apparition, there was where Our Lady kissed a piece of clothing in the apparition. And we have as an incentive, we have one rosary that has a relic of that piece of garment that Our Lady kissed during that apparition. Maria Loli, the seer of Our Lady Galamandal, again, through Maria Sirocco. So we have that. We're going to offer that to someone. We're going to let Kevin figure out the details on that. We're just so excited. Again, the relic of the piece of clothing kissed by our Blessed Mother during one of the apparitions of Maria Loli. So we are really, really so blessed. We're really blessed to be alive at this time. I'd like to go into the break with a quote from, this is from The Son of My Will. It's the biography of Luisa Picaretta, published by the Vatican Publishing Company. So again, we know how careful the Vatican's going to be with what they publish. So in the conclusion of this book, The Son of My Will, published by the Vatican, this is in the conclusion, published by the Vatican. It says, quote, "This is what clearly appears, that this living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that he wants to give to people. It is an overflow of his mercy, because it is his nature to want to splurge even more in pouring out his love." Greatest gift, published by the Vatican. We are so blessed. We finally arrived. We're finally going back. No, we're not going back. We're back to the other side, finally. I finally arrived here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, live from Radio Maria. I want to welcome back, everyone, to This is School of Mary with Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live from Italy. You know, on March 4th, 1934, Volume 23, our Lord states, "It behooves you to know that acts done in my will form the pathways that will serve to admit souls to live in my will, and that they are so very necessary that if heroic souls do not first come forth in order to live in it and form these principal pathways of its kingdom, the generations not finding those pathways will not know what to do to enter into my will. Do you see how necessary these pathways are?" End quote. And I'm going to couple that with today's last line of today's gospel, Luke 11:23. Quote, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." End quote. God's calling us all to the divine will. He's called Sister Elizabeth. Hello, Sister.
Hello, Peter. Hi. You were saying, yes, the ones that were the first to make these pathways. I was just recently reading about Rosaria Bucci, the aunt of Father Bucci, and I just came across this article about her, and I didn't know she especially prayed for the unborn. And so she was one of the first ones who read all the 36 volumes and was very close to Lisa, and the first one who kind of tried to spread it. Also, you know, she went to Vatican, it's all in this article. But it also struck me, there was one episode. So she was suffering from epileptic seizures, and one time she was in Luisa's room with some other women, and she had this seizure, and they were all kind of afraid to help her, what to do. But Luisa was very calm, and Luisa actually said, "Lord, if you want her near me, please heal her." And after that, she didn't have at all seizures anymore. She was healed. So I also have this passage, how really for the one who lives in his will, these things are kind of like normal, all this miracles. And so I have here the passage that was like in this article from Father Bucci, from volume 36. And it says also, like, Rosaria Bucci was really loved this passage. It prays, it says about the baptism of the newborn. Jesus tells to Luisa, "My blessed daughter of my will, how many wonders my will can make in the creature, as long as she gives it the first place and all the freedom to operate." As I said, as Luisa just asked, and Rosaria Bucci was healed. "My will takes the will, the word, the act that the creature wants to do as part of itself, covers it with its creative virtue, pronounces its fiat in it, and forms as many lives for as many existing creatures. You are asking in my will for the baptism of all newborn babies that will come to the light of the day, and then for its life to reign in them. My will did not hesitate for an instant. Soon it pronounced its fiat and formed as many lives from itself for as many newborn babies coming to the light, baptizing them as you wanted with its first light, and then giving each one of them its life. If these newborn babies, for lack of knowledge, will not possess our life, this life still remains for us, and we will have many divine lives that love us, glorifies us, bless us as we do ourselves. These divine lives are our greatest glory, but they don't put aside the creature who gave our fiat the opportunity to form so many of our lives for these newborn babies who are coming to the light. Rather, they keep her hidden in themselves to let her love as they love and let her do what they do. Neither would they set the newborn babies aside. Rather, they would give them so much attention, guard and defend them, as to be able to reign in their souls." And later, he continues, Luisa says, My God, how many wonders, how many surprises there are in your will. Its sweet enchantment is so great that not only does one remain captivated, but as if embalmed, transformed in the wonders of the fiat in such a way that one doesn't know how to get out of it. And then also, I just wanted to read a short prayer from Father Bucci, kind of really connected with this passage, that that kind of includes the baptism of the unborn in the divine will in it. So it says, as a command prayer, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, in the power, love, and unity of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, maybe it's the mantle of Our Lady of Guadalupe, with the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, echoing Luisa's prayers, my God, how many wonders, how many surprises there are in your will. Its sweet enchantment is so great that not only does one remain captivated, but as if embalmed, transformed in the wonders of the fiat. We love you, we adore you, we bless you, and we thank you. We pray for the baptism of all newborn babies that will come to the light of the day, and pray for its life to reign in them. We pray also for all unborn babies, especially those that have died or will die before birth. May the divine will guard and defend them as to be able to reign in their souls on earth and in heaven. Please take our humble prayer and make it your command. We believe, we receive. Fiat. Amen. Rosaria Bucci, pray for the protection of the unborn. Yes, I think we just now we baptized many babies together, and yeah, I just wanted to share it with you. I was very excited when I read it, and really, how many of these persons that were like really pioneers of the divine will, close to Lisa. They were the first, like the first children of the divine will, and we can also kind of pray to them and for their intercession. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, yeah. Father Bucci was very close to Luisa and knew a lot about her. And we also read about and were told about Aunt Rosaria, especially from Father Celso, who did a lot of great work taking care of her. But you know, one thing that caught me by surprise was this. This comes from St. Hannibal's letters, dated 8/30/1926. He goes, quote, tell Rosario, I think you call her so, that does not not even to dare to touch you, to caress you as she did once in my presence. Otherwise, our Lord will chastise her, end quote. So I found that astonishing. I guess he just took a little bit of offense to her caring nature. I mean, but we heard so many great things about it. That just caught me by surprise. So see how we have to be careful with this divine will, especially with Luisa. Mother, so hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So yeah, it's really important to do all these like acts and rounds in the divine will out of love for Jesus, and to have that pure motive to do everything for his honor and glory. And I thought the passage that Sister Elizabeth shared about the baptism of the unborn is so beautiful, because with that, like, because in the divine will we can save so many, we can baptize so many unborn babies and bring them to heaven and be a spiritual mother to them. So the passage I'd like to share today, it's from Volume 14, February 17th, 1922. So in this passage, Jesus talks about the importance of love and how it's the most necessary to man. So Jesus tells Luisa, furthermore, that which is most necessary to man is love. Love is like bread for the natural life. One can do without science, power, wisdom, or at most, these are things which one wants in time and circumstance. But what would one say if I had created man and did not love him? Besides, why create him if I were not to love him? It would be a dishonor for me and a work unworthy of me, who can do no other thing but love. And what would happen to man if he did not have an origin of love and could not love? He would abrupt and unworthy even to be looked at. Therefore, love must run in everything. Love should run in all the human actions, just as the image of the king circulates in the currency of a kingdom. And if the coins are not marked with the image of the king, they are not recognized as currency. In the same way, if love does not run in a work, it is not recognized as my work. So Jesus is really telling us through Louisa in this passage how important it is to love in all we do, and not with our own love, but the best way to love Jesus is loving Jesus with his own love. So we can say, like, Jesus, I want to love you with your own love. I want to love you on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future, who have never loved you, who are not loving you now, and who will never love you. And that way, in loving Jesus in the divine will, we can give God all the honor and glory he deserves and all the love that others aren't giving him. So we must be filled with divine love, which must run in all of our works. So also, it really touched me what Mother was saying, sharing earlier in the program about after she started reading the Divine Will, how like the sky seemed bluer and like nature seemed more beautiful. And also when I started reading more of the Divine Will, I felt like my heart like grew in love, like just like loving God more and loving others more and just like being more accepting. And then the more we love, the more we can get closer to God in heaven. Thank you.
Isn't that a beautiful transformation or transmutation to be able to love greater? It's just so incredible. That's what this gift does. It's just the opposite of what's happening in the world, you know, where hate and angst and anxieties are flourishing, or they seem to be flourishing. God has this neutralizing effect to bring back the love. This is what it was. And you mentioned also about giving the love back to God, Sister Jacinta. And so important too, because only through the divine will and in the divine will can we give that love back to God on the level of God, due to God. That's where he gets his satisfaction, the way Adam was able to communicate. We need to regain that status. We can't get there, but God can lift us back up there, which he's doing right now. Sisters?
Hi. Today I'd like to share the maternal appeal of the Queen of Heaven from the book of Virgin Mary. Actually, it was the book, the Virgin Mary book in the Kingdom of Divine Will that I came across first to get to know the divine will. And just a couple of sentences was enough just to change my way of life. And it was just enough for me to decide to live in the divine will. And it was purely God's grace. So this is a little passage that I'd like to share. Dearest child, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to make you my maternal visits. If you assure me of your filial love and faithfulness, I will remain always with you in your soul to be your teacher, model, example, and most tender mother. I come to invite you to enter the kingdom of your mama, the kingdom of the divine will, and I knock at the door of your heart that you may open it to me. You know, with my own hands, I bring you this book as a gift. I offered it to you with maternal care so that in reading it, you may learn in your turn to live from heaven and no longer from the earth. This book is of gold, my child. It will form your spiritual fortune and your happiness also on earth. In it, you will find the fount of all goods. With it, you will lack nothing. You will no longer be alone because your mama will keep you sweet company, and with all her maternal care will take on the commitment of making you happy. I, Celestial Empress, will take care of all your needs, provided that you agree to live united with me. If you knew how I burn with desire that you listen to my lessons, accept this gift of heaven I am bringing you. Welcome my visit and my lesson. So when I read this maternal appeal, her invitation, it really gives me hope that it can also be done in my soul. And I feel her maternal tenderness, and it makes me want to do everything that she asked me. And this book is truly a gift from God. So this is her invitation to us to enter into the kingdom of the divine will. I mean, Jesus, he was perfect by the nature, but Our Lady became perfect by the grace. So when I read this book, it gives me hope and encourages me that I can also do the same thing, that I can also become like Our Lady. And because Our Lady teaches us how to live in heaven, starting from on earth. And she also teaches us how the God's will and human will work together to achieve God's plan. And we also learn here the weak points and strong points of our of the human will. I mean, the strongest point of our human will that it can reflect God's will on our souls, but the weakest point is that it can be disobedient to God's will and that it wants to do its own will apart from God's will. So Our Lady is showing us that how to be obedient to the will of God and how beautiful it is to live in the divine will. So the key point here that she teaches us is that she let the divine will operate in her souls. So we have to let God be God in our souls. So I'd like to really wish that everybody that listening to this radio to read this maternal appeal of the Queen of Heaven and to open our hearts, your souls, and your hearts to her knocking and to her invitation. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. You know, that's one of my favorite passages from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And remember also, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom in its Italian translation carries the Church's seal of approval, the imprimatur, and the nihil obstat. And just incredible. And, you know, it just comes down to, like we talked about before, Sister Francisca, Mother, do we believe this? Do we believe this to be true? And if we do, we should be jumping for joy. If we, I'm not sure, yeah, we have to be sure. Because this is our Lord, this is our Lady. They want, I mean, this is not, the world around us is not what was intended, but God's bringing us back. He has to take us through the mud first, right, Mother?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's real because of the transformation that takes place in your life when you read it.
That's right. That's right. It's a great point.
The proof is in the pudding.
Which Sister Jacinta just articulated also. Great. Sister?
And actually what Sister Gloria said, that we also find out the weak points of our human will. It reminded me of, you know, what Sister Gemma was talking about before. Like, yes, it's easy to read and talk about abandoning ourselves to the divine will at every moment, but it's not so easy to live in the day to day. But even in those moments where it's difficult, those moments are really moments of grace. I don't think that they're moments necessarily where we're falling out of the divine will. But there are moments where the Holy Spirit's kind of whispering in our ear where maybe we have an attachment, or, you know, where our human will is strong and we're not willing to abandon it. And just kind of bringing those things to the Lord, the things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, and ask Him to, you know, just talk to us about it. You know, what are the roots of it? You know, why are we still struggling in that area? And again, it's not about self-reflecting and figuring it out ourselves, but, you know, allowing the Lord to use those moments of difficulty throughout the day, the moments where we notice our weak points, to help us to grow. At least that's what I found, you know, very fruitful. So we don't have to get discouraged when things get difficult and when it doesn't feel so easy to just constantly abandon and hand over our will to the Lord. It's a process and it comes little by little. I wanted to read today a passage from Volume 33, March 11th, 1934. Jesus tells Louisa, "The sign that the soul lives in my will is that everything within and around her speaks to her of my will. Indeed, to say I possess the life of God's will and not feel it is impossible. And that is why she will feel it in the heartbeat, in the breath, in the blood that circulates in her veins, in the thought that takes shape in her mind, in the voice that gives life to her word, and in all the rest. So the interior act echoing the exterior one lets her find my will in the air that she breathes, in the water that she drinks, in the food that she eats, in the sun that gives her light and heat. In short, the internal and external things join together to make a multitude of acts to form the life of my will within them. One act alone does not produce life, but continuous and repeated acts do produce life. Indeed, in my will, everything is present, as in the act of doing everything that was done by us. And the soul who lives in it enters into the power of our present acts, and she does what we do. She remains filled with our creative power and by our ever-increasing love. She understands that it is really for her that God does everything. And oh, how she loves and wants to do everything for her Creator. On the other hand, outside of our fiat, the things that we have done appear to belong to the past, things done for everyone, but not for her alone. So love does not awaken her. It sleeps and remains lethargic, and souls think of it as faraway love, not an actual one. Indeed, there is such a difference between one who lives in my will and one who lives outside of it, that there is no comparison between them. So be attentive and thank me for the great blessing that I have given you by letting you know what it means to live within my will. So just really quick, just two things that popped into my mind is one is how important it is that we develop our interior life, that we have some, you know, time and quiet to just really just spend time with the Lord, to let him gaze upon us and we gaze upon him, let him talk to us and we talk to him. Because I feel like that's the way we really feel his presence. That's where kind of the transformation happens. The unity between us and God is really formed, so that when we are busy about many things throughout the day, even though it's impossible to be thinking about it at all times and feeling the divine will at all times, we will feel it more because we will have that union, that union with God. And just the second thing really quick, especially during Lent, as we're meditating upon our Lord's passion, to meditate on it in a way like he tells Luisa here, that he suffered all that just for each one of us. He told Luisa, I love each soul more than I love all souls put together. Like, that's just something to really chew on. So when you meditate on the passion, when you think of, you know, all that our Lord has done and still does, because it's still an act for us, you know, remember that it's being done for you personally. There's a special and unique and personal and intense love there. And the more we rest in that love, the more we fill ourselves with that love. And like you said, Peter, really believe in that love for us. That's when our love grows, first for God, then for ourselves in a healthy way. And then it just overflows to our neighbor. As Mother says, that's how the divine will makes us just fall in love with everyone, because we know just how much we're loved.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned about it, it's impossible, sister, about, you know, to recognize and to think about the divine will at all times. But I that is true. You know, like, for example, we're driving in a difficult intersection, we've got to be thinking about what we're doing. But I think for all those idle moments that we have when we may be wandering off to think of football or pleasures and all this other things, we think of the divine will. We think about a phrase. We think about the sacrifice that our blessed Lord made. I think that'll.
I think we've gotten disconnected here. Can you hear me, Peter?
Oh, yeah, very clearly. Thank you.
Okay, okay, now back again. Okay. I don't know. We have a minute, or what do we have left?
We're going to stretch that to two. Larry may be upset at me, but we're going to go two.
Okay. And I just want to read a little bit here. Not only in creation, is creation always an act, but also redemption is always an act. And one who lives in my divine will feels the continuous act of my descent from heaven to earth. And it is precisely for her, for love of her, that I descend. I am conceived, I am born, I suffer and I die. Everything is for her. And in order to give her tit for tat, I descend and she receives me, is conceived in me, is born again with me, lives together with me, and dies with me to rise again with me. There is nothing I have done which she does not want to do together with me. So I feel her inseparable from creation, inseparable from redemption, and from everything I did. And if she is inseparable from all my works, from my very life, what should I not give to one who lives in our will? How could I not centralize everything in her? If I did not do so, my love would not tolerate it. Therefore, if you want everything, live in my will. I cannot give things by half, but everything. And you will have the great good of feeling within yourself are operating in continuous act. And oh, how you will comprehend how much you have been loved by your Creator and how obliged you are to love him. Greatest gift that ever could be given to us.
I think that sums up everything. Nothing could be clearer than that, Mother. Thank you so much. You know, Mother, we talked early in the program before we close here about, you know, how God says he had to do this in such a way, it had to be easy and accessible unless the soul did not want it. And let's go close things with The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa, published by the Vatican, who it states, in order to understand this gift, it's necessary to take a leap into the mystery that is unexplainable, but that can be embraced and followed if one so chooses. End quote. We've been called. Let's respond. Let's not divide. As today's gospel, whoever is not with me is against me. Love, everyone. Mother, sisters, thanks be to God. Thanks to all of you and for your vocation.
God bless you all. Thank you. We love you. Bye-bye.